So welcome, welcome back, everyone, to After Hours Let's Talk. I'm your host, Jordy Farrell, and tonight we will be talking about loving the past that seals the present and the people that's in it. So I have a very special guest tonight. His name is Daniel. He will be joining me tonight on this beautiful journey that we have. But before we get into that, as you know, grab a seat, grab something to drink, get comfy, and let's dig deep. So before we get started, we're going to go into our What's On Your Mind Tonight submission and have an anonymous person that wrote in tonight about the relationship field. So they stated, I'm in a new relationship with an amazing person. They've never done anything to hurt me, but I'm always waiting for the days they will. When they're quiet, I assume it's anger. When they're late, I assume I've been abandoned, but I don't know how to stop pretending for the worst. It feels like I'm ruining something good. Someone who is wrong. And I completely understand that. It's the kind of fear that doesn't come from nowhere. Always waiting for things. So it's going to happen. But I think it's just our brains picking at us, making us look forward to things that really shouldn't happen. So awesome. So with that being said, we're going to jump into the conversation. We have Daniel. He's the one who has gone through a lot of complications. You should say that I think that we can all relate to. So would you like to introduce yourself, Daniel?
Yeah, happy to. Thanks for having me on here. I'm a scientist by training, but I've gone away from the heavy duty lab science as I like working with people. And we have a very, very challenging road ahead of us as I see it, where mental health has taken a massive hit. And I know the physiology, I know the anatomy, I know the biology, the molecules of life, and that doesn't really help. It's a bit of information that can put people in the right course, but if the mindset's not there, if the emotional well-being isn't aligned, the information won't help you. You won't be able to put that what can save you into practice. You won't know how to connect with it. And heck, sometimes we create a cages for ourselves in which the only way to escape is to let go. But we have a hard time, I think, doing that today.
I totally agree. I think that we hold on to things and we're so fearful of jumping out of our comfort zone and experiencing something different in life. And we get really wrapped up in our routine and what we're used to and looking forward to things that are not necessarily going to happen, but I think we pick our brains and we assume and we think the worst, so we prepare for the worst.
Yeah, and a lot of that starts from very early years on how our environment was shaped. If you know, mom and dad did an incredible job of protecting and encapsulating you from the, call it the dangers and the evils of the world, then it was easier to develop that emotional resilience and that responsibility to be able to control your mindset, control within the possible limits of your own emotions, of what shows outward. And for a lot of us, you know, what I see today is that people are walking around as adults, but they behave worse than kids. And it's that skill set that was never really ironed out. It was never verbalized. It said, hey, by age 13, you should really have your mind, your emotions in control. You're obviously going to experience and feel a lot of things. And especially in the teen years, that's when you get broody and you're going through all those changes. But coming out of that should be something that's quite thriving, that's situated, that's strong and resilient. And it's, I think, emotional well-being, the emotional health that's under-talked about. you know, we have a mental health crisis all across North America. You hear that thrown around constantly. But when you think about mental faculties, like what are our actual mental abilities? Memory, focus, attention, emotions. Those are all, you know, other than emotions, those are all fine faculties. No one's having issues necessarily with saying, hey, can you remember what you did yesterday? Or, hey, let's do a memory game. But when it comes to, I think, two parts, you know, one, there's a thinking and there's an emotional part that is really at the forefront what we're talking about, we say mental health. And, you know, what is the root causes for that emotional, let's say, lack of resiliency or emotional disconnect? And then the only other part I think that's actually mental health is that we get stuck into repeated loops of thinking. And it's not new thoughts. It's just rehashing memories that are coming forward. So it's not even in the line of saying new thoughts, new thinking, or even thinking. It's just memory recall. And this is where I think we have issues with our relationships, with ourselves and with the people around us, when we come forward and all of a sudden we're bringing on baggage that the other person in front of us has no idea. You know, here I'm blessed to be present with you in this moment, and we get to explore, I think, some really cool thoughts, but that would be completely stolen if I was to start bringing in all the bad things, or even necessarily maybe even good things, to this moment. We wouldn't be able to see where each other are at, how we experienced, we'll say, this sort of mental health crisis. And is it a real thing, or is it just another, you know, hyped up media spin to get people spending money on the wrong thing?
Right. And that's very true. And I do feel like it can be hyped up in a sense. I think they play on it very well a lot, but I do personally feel like there is a great mental health crisis going on. And I think the generation that we have now, being the adults, went through a lot growing up and weren't properly taught how to deal with their emotions, how to course correct, or even just do things in a more positive manner. I feel like our generation was taught to, you know, we outcry a lot. I feel like, or at sports with me, we outcry a lot because we didn't have a lot of people listening. I wanted to take the time out to hear us, but cared enough to ask what was bothering us. You know, it was more as a child, do what I say, not what I do, and do as we're told, and that's just the end of it. You know, so I do see a lot of adults in today's world that are way worse than kids. They have way more worse temper tantrums, I should say, than the children we have in today's world.
Yeah, we can also just look at how many people are staying together and making families, how many people are constantly breaking up, how many people are going from relationship to relationship, and the number's increasing. It's not decreasing by any means. And that's, I think, a good metric to measure how well people are doing on this mental emotional scale. And I think it really is something which is a skill set. When you have someone in front of you, that their presence of mind is really the best gift you can have. You know, if you have a negligent father and he buys you a big watch or whatever, even for your 16th or 18th birthday, gets you a car, but he's never there. Would you trade up that car to have a present dad that's going to be there at all important times? I know for a fact, for people I've talked about, especially successful people that didn't have their, you know, family member present, did give that up in a heartbeat. You know, that material stuff doesn't really take the place of the person, right? And when people are on their deathbed, what do they say? Well, they say, hey, I regret spending so much time at work. I wish I spent more time with family. Or, hey, I wish I cultivated a family. You know, I didn't lock down that girl that I was dreaming of, and I let her slip by, and I didn't make a family. And you see that as their biggest regrets. And so the past doesn't really exist. I know, obviously, you know, you can dig up fossils. That's a real thing. There is an elapsing of time, so to speak. But in a sense, what the present moment is. It's like a boat on an ocean. And as that boat moves, there's a wake and it dissipates back into the ocean. So for people, you know, that's really what's happening. And though we can paint the past from the present, we don't do the best job of holding what was actually present there. Because if we have, if I might have an intention and say something off the cuff, my intention would be very different from how that was received. And what will be remembered is not what was the intention or the words verbatim. What will be remembered is the emotion. So at night when we go to sleep, we don't remember categorically everything that happened to us, all the things we saw, the thoughts that we had. No, we remember. Our memory forms around the emotions that we experienced. So I go to bed, I think, wow, I had a phenomenal conversation with Shorty Ferrulli on her podcast. That was awesome. I definitely can't remember every single second of it, but the emotion is what goes with us. And I think that's something in which a lot of texts, Buddhism, Christianity, you name it, the scriptures, they try to guide you towards, you know, cleansing yourself of this type of baggage. You know, let the dead lay with the dead. You don't need to sleep with them, so to speak. I know those words of wisdom circulate around, but that has a very, very important meaning today for bringing up, hey, you didn't take the trash. Remember that time when we did this thing and you did this? Those type of scenarios ruin relationships. And that's not to say you can't bring up saying, hey, you know what? I'm still feeling like this. Hey, let's iron this out, because acknowledgement is an important part in relationships. To acknowledge somebody else is an utmost importance. That's how you build strong relationships. But if one person can't move past something, it's very hard to grow together. Right. And that's the thing about, I think, coming into a relationship that's going to stand the test of time. It's almost like two vines going to intertwine, but as they intertwine, they grow straight up. Versus alone, they might make some headway, but no way can you do it alone in this world. You know, I do think that family structure is a big, big importance. And not just the two. I think the more you have as a community, the more you have structure around you, this applies to all your relationships and how you work with them. And that's not to say it's not all right to reminisce about the past, but when there's something present in front of you, are you simply stealing from that moment of what you can create by playing this game of, hey, you know what? I haven't dealt with my emotions yet. And there's a thing, I think almost there's like a, you know, there's a bit of a balancing act to do in life. You know, if you're too silent, that's not good. If you're too saying everything comes to your mind, it's also not too good. And I think sometimes when someone is that brooding silent type, we don't recognize parents as and guardians, brothers, sisters, and, you know, coaches, whatever, on, hey, what do I do to get this person to name their emotion? Because it's that simple, actually. You know, we talk about all these skills and this intelligence. It comes as simple as, can you name it? Because from that, you can then move on it. There's some secrets within the people that never get sick. You know, and part of it is that it's not that they don't get angry, they don't get agitated or frustrated. You know, the emotions still come. It's that they know how to name it and move past it. And they've also let go of the obvious ones in which, you know, they're not spiteful, they're not vengeful, they're not just needlessly angry at the world or hateful. Those types of emotions won't get you far. They're not constructive emotions. They're very destructive. You know, those types of individuals, they're like a ticking time bomb, just being passed around like hot potato. So the idea of just naming it, name the emotion, name the sensation, name what's going on, allows you to say, hey, is this something that's worth my time? Is this something that's worth my anger? Because anger is not just an emotion to completely ignore. I think it's part of you being a human being. And if you know how to channel it properly, getting angry at the right thing could be you being a hero in a scenario where you stop someone from doing something that's absolutely egregious. You know, I would say that was the worst offense, no matter where you're on the world, which everyone agrees, harming a child, right? Don't touch the kids. I don't think we need that in the books. I think that's just a written code in the human genome. So this is something very simple, but I see it as not really something that's forefront of mind, because the conscious runs at a very slow pace, but the subconscious is 200,000 times more processing power than your conscious. And what does the subconscious do? It keeps you in the present moment. So you hear, you respond, your heart rate, your heartbeat, how are you going to react if someone says something? That's all your subconscious. And the thing is that you program it each day. How? With emotions. Because at the end of the night, you go to bed, and that's what your brain records. It records the emotions. Now, intellectually, what do? You can play the game of intellect by saying, well, what kind of person do I want to be? And what is the greatest superpower the human being has? And probably our last line of defense, it's imagination.
It is. Absolutely. That is true. You've put a lot of things there. I really hit, yeah. I think I sit as I think, and I tell people, like, you can't completely ignore your feelings. You can't ignore them. You have to deal with them. You have to go through them. But it's how you deal with them, how you process them. And if you know if the emotion is even the right one, like, is it really how you're feeling, or is it something else? And then, so I'm glad you said that, because you do have to identify what it is that you're feeling in order for you to be able to do it. And when it comes to these relationships, I don't think enough of us know how to sit down, have conversations, and really truly process and talk about how we're truly feeling. I think we have a fear in not telling the truth about our feelings because we're afraid of how the other person may respond or what they're going to think about how you're feeling. So,
yeah, you know, it's easy when someone's strong and everything's going right to be like, hey, look at that person. Their life was so easy, it was set up. But I do think a big fear is that our weaknesses won't be accepted. That if I have an emotion that's maybe of jealousy, envy, or spite, and I allow that to come to the forefront, that the other person on the other side will hate me or push me away. And I think there's a big part in not identifying with the fact that, hey, you know what, I'm jealous, that I'm a jealous person. It's okay, I'm jealous of something. Let's poke fun at it. And if I can't laugh at myself for being jealous over what? You know, someone giving attention to a dog, someone giving attention somewhere else and it didn't go to me. Oh, come on, me, special me. I think that's a bit of, the more you have, I think, a strong community around you, the easier it is for you to be able to dissolve that, I think what we call the ego vibe. You know, anatomically speaking, there's no such thing as the ego. You know, show it to me, put it in front. Can we point to it? No, like the ego is not a thing. But the ego vibe is a phenomenal description of, I think, someone really internalizing or pushing attention to themselves when they don't need to. And it's not really a constructive way of, I think, holding relationships. Sometimes it's great to bring attention to yourself. And if you're the life of the party, if you got good jokes, yeah, I want to hear it. You know, if you got good stories, let's hear them. But I think it's these fears of, hey, we're not going to be loved, we're not going to be accepted, when it's kind of, I think, there's a little bit of a cosmic joke in it, where if you let all of it go, you'll see what you naturally gravitate towards. You'll get excited about stuff. And when you're excited about something, I guarantee you, other people can see it and they can feel that vibe.
Yeah.
And that's the genuine you in which we want to get to know. Not that, call it mask that you're putting on and layers of defense that you've built up since childhood because, you know, it wasn't the pristine, perfect environment, which, let's be honest, who's grown up in that? You know, especially in today's world where change is happening so fast. I don't think any mom and dad knows what the heck's going on, right? So I think, yeah, bring it back to some basics and bring it back to being very good with our language, because that sucks. When someone's throwing out language like darts, that part's no good. That's exhausting for everybody.
Yeah, it is. All I can say is be your authentic self. People will love you for you. And if they don't, then they're not made for you.
Absolutely.
So, I just want to take a moment here. I want to hear a little bit about you, like what you've gone through and how you've gotten to where you are. You're like the first scientist I've ever seen.
Yeah, I, you know, I'm a truth seeker, and I'm fascinated what it means to be a human being. You know, I love people. I got a dog too, but, and I hear people all the time say, I love dogs, but I hate people. I love people. And I've got to travel the world quite a bit. I got to see, you know, different religions, different viewpoints, different cultures. And I studied genetics to a, you know, a business to an extent. I use that as a skill set to, you know, to share access to what it really is, you know, to be a human being. And so I see it almost like a purpose for me to be able to communicate as best I can what is the potential of the human being, right? And when I see people struggling and doing stuff, as in my younger years, I would have resentment towards them. And now there is, how would you say it? I wouldn't say empathy. Empathy can be quite a, not a good emotion to harbor because it can bring you down. You know, if someone else is struggling, you don't need to struggle with them. You need to shine bright to show them or to be able to extend your hand to pick them up from a place they've gotten down too far. And so I see humanity going through, I think, some of the darkest era right now. And so I've used my skill set as science so that we're not in the wasting time. And science is very, I think, on a knife's edge right now, where some people are using it like religion. And you can't use science. Science is very simple. Observe, measure, predict. That's what you're doing. It's like a skill set. You know, if you've ever been in the kitchen, you make up a recipe, you come back and you fine tune it, you make it a little better. Now you can add something else to make it a little healthier. Now you make it something else to be able to last longer. And it still doesn't take away from, you know, nutrition value of it. That's science. And we all do it. And when you start trusting science, that's when we've gone over the line and we're starting not to be able to ask the questions. We're not able to see, you know, the data, right? You have to be able to show the data. And so I like it. I like the data. I like learning about people. And when people share their information with me, I package it out into a health profile because there's no one else going to be on the planet like you. You know, you can wait for someone else to have similar scenarios and you try to mimic it. But the reality is that, you know, we can put all the science to work today. From your genetics to your blood to your background to what you're doing in your life to what you're willing to do. Let's be real. Not everyone's going to do the cold plunges, the saunas, you know, the amount of exercise people are telling you got to hit. But, you know, the reality is that I have a framework. You know, if you want to live long and healthy, walking's the minimum. Is that my recommendation? No, I recommend getting some muscles because they're useful, right? They're good for the brain. They're good for your soul. And they'll last you a long time. So when you hit, you know, 60, 70, 80, you can still do whatever you want. You know, you can go surfing and you can go skiing. You know, you can enjoy life to the fullest, not worried about breaking a hip or falling down the stairs. So I like people. You know, I love humanity. And I would like to see us not get bamboozled as much as we're getting bamboozled right now.
Love it. Thank you so much. So, I have some closing thoughts, and you can join me at this if you like. No. So for all my listeners out there, if someone's listening and knows they're dragging their past and something new, what would you tell them? Me, I would let them know that I personally need to take a deep breath, step back, reevaluate, really think about what it is that they're feeling, and is it truly something that can have a major effect on your present and your future, or is it something that you can let go and move forward with and learn from and create something better?
Yeah, I would let them know that the universe is rooting for them. You know, don't get hung up on the naysayers. There'll be plenty of them. If you don't have integrity or ideas of your own, the world will film for you. So take a moment, sit in silence, and know that the universe is rooting for you, because the decision of whether you deserve life was already made. Life said yes. So you're here, and you know, we're all looking forward to meeting who you are.
We're going to do our quote of the night. And our quote is, you can't start the next chapter if you keep the last. So let the past be information, not a prison, not a prediction. Let it be present. Well, not let it be present, but let your past be the past and live in your present. And look forward to your future. I would love to thank Daniel for joining us today. It has been a pleasure and a very wonderful conversation. And if you're out here listening and this is home for you, you're not alone. We're all this learning together. We're healing together. And every night is another chance to begin. Send your story, your questions, your confessions. Here for all the time. And until next time, you guys. Well, stay open. And remember, the night always comes to you.